Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Steve.
Yes.
I've been thinking a little bit about Elijah, not Elisha. Elijah came first. I don't know how I remember that, but I just try to remind everybody that.
The J before the S.
Yeah, there you go. And I just want to kind of unpack a little bit a part of his life that I think really represents a lot of Christians and just our daily living, encountering struggles, and also the relationship with God, and just like how do we, you know, live that out. And we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 19 and really unpacking all that. But as we dive into this story, why don't you set us up a little bit? What Elijah's really coming off of like a high, right? I mean, he's had like some radical, powerful moments with God in front of the whole kingdom of Israel. Why don't you unpack a little bit what's going on there?
Well, in chapter 18 is pretty awesome. I wish this would have happened like in my life at some point. Like literally faces, I think it's 850 prophets at the time, and they have this get together of whose God is bigger. And I like the parts where like Elijah makes fun of their God. And so he sets up this altar and says, even put water on it, calls fire down, all that good stuff, has a great miraculous moment. And he comes off, I don't know about you, but I've had these moments where you're like, you see a healing, God uses you, it's pretty powerful, it's an amazing moment. And then, like, you're on a super high,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally. You're pumped.
It's like a drug, kind of. Yeah. Like, you're like feeling, woo, this is awesome. And you're just, like, super motivated. And then
he outruns a chariot. I know that.
Which is pretty awesome.
Which is insane.
And I think it even goes to a part where they're in a drought, right?
Right, that
and
happened
before.
And
then even prays for rain.
Yep.
And that happens, so that's pretty
crazy.
Pretty awesome. And that leads us into chapter 19. So right. He's on this high. He's seeing awesome things. All of a sudden, Jezebel gets a hold of what's happening.
Right. And she hears what's going on.
And she is not too happy that her prophets are gone.
Right. Because she's the queen.
Yes, of Ahab.
And married to Ahab, the king of Israel.
Yes.
So Ahab goes to Jezebel, whines and complains like, oh, Elijah just killed all your prophets and like showed that God's better than Baal. So he's kind of whining and complaining.
Is that what she sounded like?
That's what Ahab probably sounded like. Oh,
hey.
I just view him as somebody who's kind of like depressive and just not pumped about life all the time.
Hey, Jezebel. That's
right.
Awesome. That was funny. I liked it. I like your impressions. Those are good.
Right, and so she hears about what's going on, and she decides to write him a message. So, you know, this is pre-text message. You know, she can't send him a gift or anything like that. Like, I'm going to kill you. You know, like, she can't, you know, like, give him, like, a Friday the 13th, you know, thing. So she sends a message to him, and this is in verse 2. It's of chapter 19. It says, then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, meaning the prophets that have just died, by this time tomorrow. And it says his response to that. Now remember, based off of what Steve was just talking about, his response to this is very interesting because he should be on cloud nine. Call down fire, ended a drought, outran a chariot, all within like a week or less, all these things are happening. Yeah. And then someone writes him a message like, I'm going to get you. I would be like, whatever, go for it, see what happens. But instead, his response is that it says that then he was afraid and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there.
On just a human note, that actually gives me a little like, hey, that's normal. Because sometimes when you think of Elijah, is that he has done so many great things even before that, and you're sitting there going, he is a man of God. It has a power of God.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, he comes from the spiritual high, comes down and has this happen, and he runs.
Right.
You literally called fire from heaven. You call fire from heaven.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but when I read that, I'm sitting there going, I've never seen anyone do that. That's pretty amazing.
I would love to see it.
And I sit there going, so this happens, and he runs.
Because of his prayer. So, I mean, his prayers work. If you want to talk about somebody who, like, prays and sees stuff, he's seeing stuff. So he could have just prayed something, you would think, but he's afraid. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it shows a human side to this mighty man of God.
And I think that's how I kind of like go, whoa. So I have those moments where I go, well, I've seen this, this, and this. Something happens. I'm like, why can't I just go back to that?
Right.
And sometimes I run.
Right.
Because I'm afraid.
And I think that happens with a lot of us as believers, too, because if, I found this very interesting. I was just kind of pondering this point. I mean, Jezebel's the queen. She has killed many people before just with the snap of her fingers, like, hey, go kill that person. Boom, they're dead. She could have sent an assassin instead of a messenger to Elijah. That would have been very easy for her to do and well within her scope of power
yes.
to do. But instead, she decides to write a message, and it actually has the intended effect. I believe that she was trying to get inside his head. To be like, I'm going to mess with you. I'm going to throw you off your game. How much better, even than assassinating you, would it be to make you fall, second-guess yourself, and now feel unmotivated or not unencouraged, but you know what I mean? Like, not feel that power. And really, you're going to, everyone's put you up on this pedestal of like, look at this guy who can call down fire, and now you're running for your life. So now it actually puts the onus on Elijah that, well, maybe you're not as powerful and your God isn't as powerful as you think he is. That your servant is scared from a message.
Well, you look at his response to this is quite astonishing. Because you look at, why would he run? And I don't know if the Bible goes clear on that, but why would he run? Why would you, how would we feel if you saw someone that you really looked up to that moved in the power of God and all of a sudden gets
a threat.
Something like this happens or like on social media going, oh no, oh no, oh no. Would you you go?
Second guess.
What? You were just over here doing this. Right. Now you're over here doing, being a little scared.
Right, right. And and the second part of this, which is really interesting to me, is because he has a servant with him all the time. And this servant is the one that went on the mountain and checked a bunch of times for that hand, you know, the cloud that got bigger and bigger, all that. So this guy knows the power of God as well, his buddy, in a way. So yes, it's a servant, but, you know, someone who understands the power of God, and he bails on him, and he's like, stay here, I'm out. Because what we see in the next verse is, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die. Okay? So, I mean, he's stressed. He's depressed. He said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under the broom tree. I find that interesting because, going back to what we've seen, he prays prayers and, like, insane stuff happens. And, in fact, other people's lives are taken because of his prayers.
Yes.
And so when he prays that, take my life, I think he was pretty serious. He was basically like, God, if you want to kill me, that'd be great.
Oh, have we been there?
And not just saying that kind of nonchalant, like, ah, I'm just having a bad day.
But think about how much fear he's having.
Right.
Like, she's going to take me out in 24 hours. Don't mm-hmm. know when, but within this 24 hours, something's going to happen. And he goes through this mode of like, I'm no better than my ancestors.
Right.
You might as well just take me. That's a lot to take in that passage. And you look at, as I said earlier, you look at a different side of who Elijah is.
Right.
You see him literally not operating in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally himself. Operating in the flesh. And I see that. And I could tell as going back to the spiritual highs that we have, we're operating in the spirit. When you have confidence, you have that David complex that you can take out Goliath. But then you're seeing our moments where we operate in the flesh, and flesh doesn't, we always think operating in the flesh is giving into sin
right.
and temptations, when it's sometimes just operating not in the fruits of the spirit and just going, because the human nature
right.
is to be fearful. And you're seeing this man operate in a way that God's probably, wonder what God's just going, what are you doing?
Right. I thought we were on a roll here. I thought we were going somewhere. I thought we were actually going to do something. And then his vessel, which is us, which we are, you know, fragile. We are human. There is sin in our lives that he's using us. What I love about God is that he doesn't just dump us at the first sign of trouble.
Yes.
And that's really what this story is about. And that's what's so beautiful and what I love about it. Because as it continues, it says that he went and slept on the broom tree. It isn't, you know, he does this whole thing. And behold, an angel touched him. and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there at his head was a cake of bread and on a hot stone. So like a pizza. That's what I imagine. My wife cooks pizzas on a hot stone. it's probably pepperoni. Nope, he wouldn't have been because they are Jewish.
That's like a pepperoni.
Definitely not a Hawaiian pizza. Anyway, so it said, "Arise, eat." And so, and then there was a jar of water. And so he ate and drank and laid down again. And then it continues, "And the angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise, for the journey is too great for you.'" Hmm. "And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God."
Well, sometimes we look over and read this story, an angel literally showed up.
Twice.
"Here's food, get up." He's taking away all his excuses.
Right, right.
Like, "I'm not done with you. I need you to get your little booty up and get going." Like, what, like, as I said before, I think God is sitting there, and I think he looks at it sometimes going, "Oh, why'd you stop?"
Right.
Well, because you faced a little bit of
adversity.
You're like, "I got quit."
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And sometimes I feel God's probably pushing him this way, going, sending an angel going, "Can someone get him back?"
Well, and I think we can all relate to that, of like, there are moments in our lives where we feel burned out, worn out, stressed out. "God, I've been trying hard enough and I am not seeing the results." I mean, I feel for Elijah because he's done all these things trying to get Israel back on track, and it doesn't seem like it's really working. And so he's like, "I give up. I'm not any better than my forefathers. I quit. I don't know what else to do. I quit." And how many of us have faced adversity, maybe in our family? Maybe there's a loved one that you care about that's addicted to something, you know, that's struggling with something. And you're trying every which way. You're asking for God's help. You're, you know, showing them the love of Christ. You're helping them in physical ways and physical needs as well. And it just doesn't seem to be working. And you're like, "I give up. I quit. I don't know how to help this person anymore. I don't know how to see victory in this situation that I seem to fall in," or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I understand where Elijah's at. And I love, it's just crazy that he eats a meal and then he walks 40 days and 40 nights.
I like how it's just that food was enough.
Enough. I mean, that was an insane power bar.
I was like, what did he just eat? That's
right.
Good.
And so this is where it really gets good and where God really has this encounter with Elijah. And it says that there he came to the cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I like Elijah's response. And this is what's cool, is that God wants to know why we go to him, why we're in relationship with him. And I think that's a really important thing for us to consider and contemplate on a regular basis. If you were here on our Sunday or you watched one of our Sunday services recently, we kind of touched on that during transition of God, why God is asking him, "Elijah, why are you running to me at the mountain? Like, why are you coming out to meet me? I'm with you always. And why?" And it's not an accusatory thing, I believe. It's a, "I want to know why you have this relationship with me. Why do you trust me? Why are you looking for me for answers?" Because he wants to hear that and wants to know where our level of relationship is with him. Mm. And so that's what I see here. And it's really interesting.
No, that was good. It was just as good the second time I heard it.
The second time. and in verse 10 it says, "And he had been very jealous." Sorry, this is Elijah speaking. "And he said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I alone, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" And I want to hear your thoughts on this, because we see here what has happened. Jezebel has got into his head to the point where he has secluded himself, which is not a healthy thing to do. He leaves his servant, leaves everybody else. He literally, what he says here to God is, "There's no one else that serves you. I am alone in this. I quit."
I've been there.
Right.
Where you feel like, man, am I the only one that cares? We've seen, I know people who day and night pray for the Lord's return or breakthrough for someone. And sometimes they feel like they're the only ones. I know a lady that she used to be a lady I'm very close to. She gets up every morning at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. and just seeks the Father. And like, she sometimes will come to me after praying for things, and sometimes she goes, "Is anyone praying with me?"
Yeah.
I feel like I'm alone in praying for these things and trying to see breakthrough for these things. And her just sitting there going, there's times where she's just like, I don't even know if I'll do that anymore. Right. Who cares? Right. And I look at Elijah. It's a good thing that he's feeling this. Mm-hmm. But it's also sitting him going, why? I love what you said. Jezebel has him so afraid that he feels isolated.
Yeah.
Which is the number one place the enemy attacks.
Yep. He wants to get you isolated.
If he can isolate you, and I speak to students all the time going, the worst thing you can ever do when you feel like you're by yourself is to stay by yourself.
Yeah, totally.
You have to talk to people. You have to get out of your room. And ultimately, the enemy has Elijah exactly where he wants him. He feels like he's doing this all by himself. Uh-huh. And no one's there to help him. Right. And I think the enemy has, even that he got up, maybe he got up a little bit reluctantly, like whatever.
Yeah, fine.
You're not going to listen to this prayer.
Right.
I'm going to go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to listen. But he's pretty just like, why? Mm-hmm. Why should I?
Right. I don't know why I should continue doing this. And he said, go out, and this is God speaking back to Elijah, go out and stand at the mouth before the Lord, and behold, of the cave. And the Lord passed by.
That's pretty cool.
God Almighty passed by Elijah. And what we're seeing here is God knows. And so if you're discouraged right now and you feel alone, particularly if you feel secluded, isolated, and maybe that was of your own doing, and maybe that was just because of the situation that you're in right now, whatever the case may be, that God is always right there with us. That God knows in this moment, you need to have an encounter with me. You need to be in relationship with me. You need to remember why we're here together doing this thing.
But look what he says before. He says, but go out. Mm-hmm. To the edge. You had to leave the cave.
Right. Quit hiding in here. Step out on the edge.
Come out. I'm not going to meet you inside. Like, he is in the cave. He's obviously having a conversation in the mm-hmm. cave. Mm-hmm. He's like, I need you. Like, we talk about isolation.
Yeah.
I need you out here.
Yeah.
And we're going to, mm-hmm. you're going to encounter me like you've never encountered me
right.
before.
And it's so cool because this is what happens next. And it says that, a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. That's awesome. I've never been in a windstorm that strong. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. So we're seeing all these powerful moves. And how many of us, we want to see God move. We want to see the healing. We want to see the miracle. We want to see the like radical something. We want to feel the sense of the Holy Spirit in a worship service.
Which Elijah has experienced.
Correct. This is not the first time he's ever seen these type of things.
Like, so he's experienced what you just said, like those big things.
Right. But God is trying to explain to him that I'm not, that those are a part of me. I'm causing those things, but that's not who I am. Because what comes in last is after all of this, there was a sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I love that because it even shows that this is familiar territory for Elijah. Because as soon as he hears that whisper, he knows to cover up his face. So that means that he's covered up his face before to go in the presence of the Lord before. So this is a familiar situation for Elijah to be in and that he's stepping into. And I love how God asks him again, like, is that really why you're here? You've already told me once, but I'm going to ask you that question again. I love how sometimes God's like, are you sure? And so why don't you tell, like, what happens next in that dialogue and what do you see happening after that and just this whole moment here?
Well, he repeats himself. Well, let's go back over. I'm zealously serving you. Jealously, your translation says. And here I am. They broke in your covenant. They killed all your prophets. I'm the only one left. And the Lord says to him, go back to the same way you came. And when you arrive there, you anoint Hazael to be king of Aram and anoint Jehu and Nibshan. And it goes through all these wonderful names I can't pronounce. But he goes on that whole thing. And at the end, he says there's 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Mm-hmm. I love that. He's like telling you, you are not alone in this.
Yeah.
He is actually meeting a need that Elijah wanted.
Right.
You're not alone.
Right.
There's actually others there that I have picked to stand alongside you to do this.
Right.
And that's what I find so beautiful in God. It's in there going, that's really the whole message of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You're not alone.
Right. And it really paints a picture for the purpose of the believer, because though this is good and this is what Elijah needs in this moment, is this radical encounter with God on the mountain, this is not where he is supposed to stay. That's not where he's supposed to be. We as believers, we want those like mountaintop encounters with God. We want this amazing intimacy and power and just all this stuff. And there are moments where we're like, God, can I just be like this forever? And that will be a day in heaven when we have that type of daily life. But that's not the purpose of Elijah. Elijah needs to go back into society, go back into Damascus, go back into Israel, go back into the world that is hostile to him, to fulfill the purpose. And the same thing is for you and me, the believer, to not run and hide and try and just like get what we need from God and just live there. God says, I know you need this encounter with me, and now I'm going to send you back out. Encouraged, reconnected with me, now go. And he gives them purpose again. And I love this one part out on top of all these people that he points out Elisha to become his ward and become like the next prophet after Elijah. And so I love that, because God's saying, I'm going to partner you up with somebody so you don't feel alone anymore. Not just a servant who will like carry your bags, but someone who's actually going to have a purpose, the same purpose that you have, and they're going to carry that on past that. So I'm going to partner you up and meet that need of relationship that you feel is missing.
And that's where I want to encourage you guys. Like, even though you do feel alone, you feel like even if you're by yourself, there are other people there with you. But not only that, someone that can be close as a brother to you. And I feel like even in our relationship, that is what it has become.
Right.
It's Elisha
totally.
Type of relationship. We've gone after the same things, done the same things, and been after those things. And it was at a time I felt alone.
Right.
And then you came into my life. And I think that's so beautiful how God operates. And you even see it in the New Testament when he sends about 2x2. And there's something about partnership, God being in the midst of it and going after the same things,
right.
I think is just beautiful. So if you feel alone, just be encouraged.
Yeah.
Like, God hears you. Don't give up.
And if you feel like you're on the lowest of the low, because this is what's so cool. Elijah wants God to kill him and like, end my life, I give up. He's one of the only like three people in the whole Bible never died. So even if you feel like you're at the lowest of the low, to the point where you're like, God, I can't even like go on another day, know that God still has purpose and plans and something for you to do, and that it's much bigger and greater than what in the dumps that you feel right now. You're going to be riding on chariots of fire, basically, which is what Elijah got taken up into heaven in, which is pretty cool. So I just love that, and I just love this story. And we encourage you guys, you know, read through this set of scripture. Maybe go back like two more chapters, like chapter 17, read all the way through so you get the whole picture of what's going on here, because it's a really beautiful story of God's love and connection to people, but also humanity and the fall of just feeling inadequate, you know, feeling like you can't make it, and that we see in Elijah's life and God meeting those needs. It's just awesome.
Well, awesome. I double stamp that. Loved doing that message with you.
It's fun.
We want to thank you guys. Hope you're encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or anything, you can email us at ecdenver.org. And we love to pray for you. If you're looking for someone, you can always, seek the Father. He'll send you a partner. I definitely believe it. And with that said, thank you for joining us. If you haven't yet, please like us on Facebook. And you also haven't, subscribe to us on YouTube. And have a wonderful evening and see you Sunday.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.